So every morning for the past several weeks, I have tried to go out for a walk first thing in the morning. Typically what I'm trying to do is get Abby off to school, and then instead of coming home and sleeping for an extra hour, I might actually throw my sneakers on and just go for a walk. I will grab my water bottle, I'll put my earbuds on, listen to whatever the latest podcast is that I'm listening to, and then off I go for maybe a 2-mile trek. And this has been my routine for the last several weeks. Occasionally, as I go on these walks, I will run into neighbors, as you might imagine, and in particular, I run into one of Abby's friends' father. And so he and I have gotten close over the last couple of years, just in general, and so then I might see him walking, and so we might stop and take a few minutes to connect on our walk before we go our separate ways. Well, this past week, our daughters went to Gettysburg and to Hershey Park for their school trip. That's where they went. And if you ask Abby, Hershey was kind of fun, Gettysburg not so much. But Dad would have liked to have gone. That would have been fun for him. But in any case, as the father of one of her friends and I were talking, we were discussing the girls and how they experienced Hershey Park or what they might experience and how they were with rides. We were just talking about how our girls experienced roller coasters. And as you might imagine, the conversation eventually devolved into all about us and what we thought about roller coaster rides. And we couldn't care about them less and just talked about ourselves. And then we talked about the parks that we've enjoyed over the years. Just by curiosity, by hands, how many people enjoy roller coasters? How many people hate roller coasters? All right, we're almost split, which is pretty good. Probably a few more that like roller coasters. I love them. I love roller coasters. But I have to tell you that as I've gotten older, those spinny ones, I can't do anymore. They kill me, right? I can't do those anymore. But in any case, one of my favorite rides of all the rides that I've ever been on, and we've been to several parks in my life, comes at Dorney Park. Dorney Park is probably my favorite park, actually. And the name of the ride is Steel Force. Steel Force, in case you're not familiar, is a massive roller coaster. I quoted this from their website. It is a massive roller coaster that features a 205-foot drop and reaches speeds of 75 miles per hour. It runs along one side of the park, and at several points as you're flying over the hills, you've got this weightless feeling for a few seconds before it kind of descends back down the tracks. And that weightless feeling is probably my most favorite part of the experience, just feeling like I'm completely free. Now, out of curiosity, how many of you have been to Dorney Park? Okay. How many of you have been on Steel Force before? All right, so those of you who've got the hands up, I guess this is the roller coaster side. This side, not so much. So on Steel Force, just I want you to hold on to that. If you can, just hold on to that experience for a second. Or even if you haven't been on, you can imagine what I'm talking about, this weightless feeling. I want you to hold on to that as we go into today's song, okay? The song for today is Homesick for Heaven, and it has become my most favorite song of all the songs that we're doing this summer. The artist is Phil Wickham, and I'm finding that his songs, every song that he comes out with, just touches me in a worshipful way. It just speaks to my heart, and I resonate with his lyrics. His songs seem to inspire me to just worship Jesus with everything that I have. In fact, Phil wrote a book, came across my Instagram feed, wrote a book called Everyday Hallelujah, Unlocking Deep Joy Through Everyday Acts of Worship, and I've pre-ordered the book. It doesn't come out till August, but I've already pre-bought it because I really want to read what he has to say. I can't wait to read it. So in the song that Phil wrote for us, Homesick for Heaven, it speaks to the ache, the longing that I have inside. It speaks to the ache and the longing that I have inside of deeply wanting to be with Jesus someday. Like, there's a part of me that just wants to be with Jesus someday. So if you've heard this song before, I hope that you might hear this song in a new way, understanding this concept of this ache and this longing. And if you've never heard this song before, I am very happy to introduce you to this new song, Homesick for Heaven by Phil Wickham.
My heart belongs to a country and a king, of a land I've always known but I've never seen. Some call it paradise or the land of the living. Well, I call it home, and I'm homesick for heaven. I wanna walk with Moses on streets of gold and dance with David before your throne to thank you face to face for the grace you've given. I wanna see my children run to your arms and worship the Savior who wears my scars. There's an ache in my the question. Believe in the power of Jesus' name, and you'll go into heaven.
Last month, one of my pastor friends posted this on Facebook. He said this about Homesick for Heaven. He said, my worship leader introduced me to this song, and I can't wait for our band to cover it next Sunday. I definitely want this song sung at my funeral. I think that just about sums up how I feel about this song. Phil has taken the ability to match up a heart's longing with praise and worship and match it up with music. In an interview, Phil told the interviewer, when the person asked him where the song came from and how did he write it, he said, I wrote it while I was washing dishes, watching my children play, during that golden hour. You know that moment when everything seems perfect? The kids aren't fighting, they're playing together, they're sharing and they're cooperating, everybody's happy, everybody's safe. The mood just feels right. There's no demands on your time. You're just enjoying the moment, and you're at complete peace. Maybe for you it's not about watching your kids, but We've all had those moments, right? Those moments when everything seems to just feel right. These moments are probably too far in between, right? They're too few and far between. But think back to a moment in your life when things were good. When you felt that weightlessness, when everything just seemed to come together, right? When we're moving through life in some way at just such a speed that the demands of life, the pressures, the hardness of life, it's not all pushing in on you, and you just feel joy. You just feel peace. Maybe you feel a connection with God. While Phil was watching his kids in this moment, in that perfect moment, he wrote the song, Homesick for Heaven. But for him, and even for all of us, this song captures the sudden realization that even in the world's most perfect moments, when the kids are healthy, when we're at peace, when there's incredible joy in our life, even at the world's most perfect moments, it's only a shadow of our home in heaven. It's only a shadow of our true home. That moment, as full as his heart was watching his kids, he realized that there's a limit. There's a cap. There is a ceiling. There's a ceiling for how good life on earth can be. There's a ceiling for that. But with God, there is no ceiling. Homesick for Heaven tells us that someday our joy, our peace, our connection with God will know no limits. No limits. The song reflects a deep spiritual longing for the presence of God. And we're reminded that our hearts belong to another country and to another king. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. Only years after Jesus had ascended into heaven, the church was about 30 years old. If you think about it, it's about half the age of our church. The church was 30 years old when Paul wrote this letter that he was writing to the people of Philippi. And the main thrust of the book of Philippians was to encourage the church to hang in there during difficult times. He could look out and see that the church was facing hardship, and he was just trying to encourage them to hang in there. Philippi was a prestigious Roman colony where the Roman citizens, they were Roman citizens in the city, and they were fiercely loyal to the empire. Although they were hundreds of miles away from Rome, they were proud of their allegiance to Rome. And as pastor and author N.T. Wright points out, the Philippians took immense pride in dressing like Romans, in speaking Latin, and enforcing Roman customs. They saw themselves as an island of Rome, even in the middle of Macedonia. So even as Paul was speaking encouragement to the church, he was reminding them of where their true allegiance lay. So here's this country, and they're so excited about their connection to Rome, and Paul was writing to them to say, hey, before you get really excited about that, hold on a second, church. And in Philippians chapter 3, he tells the church this. He says, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Paul uses the Philippian political pride as a spiritual metaphor to help them and to help us understand where our true allegiance lies. You know, you and I live in a real world. We live in a world where there are real problems, right? We live in a world where there are real hardships. We live in a world where there are true joys and celebrations. We wake up each day, we eat our breakfast, we go about our day, we have schedules to fill, we interact with people all day long, and then at night we lay our head down on our pillow again, and we live in a real world. And it is so easy for us to do that routine over and over and over and over again and think that this is all that there is to life because we live in this real world that demands of us. But a Christian's mind must be fixed entirely on a different reality than just the one that we live in. While everyone around us pursues short-term, earthly comforts, wealth, and status, we who say that Jesus is Lord, we operate with a completely different citizenship. Our citizenship is a dual citizenship, both in the real world, but also in heaven. We live in this world, but ultimately our allegiance belongs to God's kingdom. And Paul was reminding the church back then, as well as us today, when we read this text, that we are citizens of heaven, where our Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as Savior of our lives. Phil Wickham wrote Homesick for Heaven to encourage those who feel the ache, those who feel the ache of the world's brokenness. And we feel it. We feel it. Yes, we live in the here and now, but we have dual citizenship. This life is not just what's in store for us. It's not all there is. Homesick for Heaven is pointing us to the hope of resurrection and the restoration of heaven. And when we have that hope, when you and I have that hope, we can make it through anything this world has to offer. Especially when you think about the church. We can connect with each other. We can hold each other accountable. We can support one another because we have that hope here. I love this song. But I really love the way Phil and his team put this music video together. I get chills and I cry a little bit when I watch this video and I listen to the lyrics. As I watch this video and I watch this song crescendo as it gets builds bigger and bigger. You know, if you notice this, Phil starts by walking out. He walks with his backpack. He gets on a train. Then he gets off the train and he gets on a bike and he's riding. And the song is building as he's riding his bike towards this unknown destination where we don't know where he's going, but we see he's going somewhere. And then at the end, he drops the bike and he starts running as fast as he can. He's throwing off his clothes. He's anything that would hinder him. He's running up the driveway towards his father. To be able to run into his father's arms, to have God open that door and to see him. You know, in this video, there is no gate at the end of that driveway. There's no blocked entrance. It's just full of acceptance and the embrace of our Heavenly Father. This is what every single one of us is waiting for. Our dual citizenship is secure. This world is our home, but it's not our final destination. It is where Jesus lives that we want to be. And one day, all of us who confess Jesus as Lord will spend eternity with him. Even when life brings us pain, even as we experience difficult trials in life, we are reminded that this world is not our final destination. Jesus has overcome it all. And so we're encouraged to face every storm. We know that our citizenship in heaven, it will stand, and one day we will see Jesus face to face. We will experience the height and the depth and the breadth of truly worshiping God with the Holy Spirit and with our Father in heaven who will meet us and will eagerly welcome us all into his arms. But until that day, we remain here, foreigners in a foreign land, homesick for heaven. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the gift that you give us through music. I thank you for artists like Phil who are tapping into what it means to worship you with every syllable of our lives. God, we ask you to forgive us for those times where we forget that we have our citizenship secure in heaven. And when we let our gaze just focus on the problems and the strife and the things of the here and now, God, help us all to have a longing in our heart to be homesick for heaven and to be looking to you. We can't wait to be with you, Jesus. Thank you for that gift. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.